All right, Frank. Half stone.
Half stone.
Following your completely sober, amazing daughter.
Amazing daughter, yeah.
All right.
That's tough to fall on the kid.
What you got? You got.
I got chapter two. No one in the bathroom.
Yes. Nobody.
Well.
Yeah,
some respect.
Author's wife.
Mom, are you listening to this? Sorry, we're talking about dogs.
Okay. In the bathroom.
Are the dogs in the bathroom?
Okay.
Are we going to murder them?
Wait, hold on a second. This thing's fucked up.
What happened to the video?
I don't know. I hit some wrong button.
Batteries.
No, I don't think so.
Okay. All right, we're back.
All right. Good?
Chapter 2.
Chapter 2. Well, now that we've cleared that up, Mrs. Berger started, but didn't know how to end. She stammered some more and then turned on the TV. Are there any hippity-hop movies you'd like to watch with your distraught daughter? Charlie claimed that the remote control had been commanded by cassava melons, and he wasn't about to fuck with cassava melons. But he and his sister obediently pretended that they also had noticed nothing unusual, and Mrs. Berger moved back into the kitchen. One of Margaret's little friends, Diana, who lived nearby, dropped into the drama. What time is it on your planet, Mrs. Berger? Diana asked as she looked around at the kitchen's gruesome display of blood-stained melons. I don't know, Mrs. Berger responded nervously. My sister has fled to a mental hospital in Tucson. My husband is perpetually locked in our bathroom, though he assures us that no one has been murdered in there. My kids seem like mindless automatons, and I haven't got any in 10 years. Okay, Diana managed to say. Are the mindless automatons around? I come in peace, Margaret said, lifting her hands and eyes toward the ceiling. I'm better than you, Diana, and I am more intelligent than y'all all, Charlie said in his role as habitual liar. And I worry about all you motherfuckers, Mrs. Berger said, looking nervously like a watch. You're crazier than your dad. You're the crazy one, Margaret said, suddenly serious. You married him. It's like I've been in a coma for 10 and a half years, Mrs. Berger said. This fucking obsession of your father's has literally made me sick. I don't eat anything except salad dressing. We were much better off when Mom was committed, Margaret thought. Dad never locked himself in the bathroom. For the past 2 weeks, all they'd heard were murderous screams coming from the bathroom. And after the screams, their father would always appear with a key lime pie in his hands. He'd look nervous and his hands shook. But during this time, he would always say something nice to them like, nice day or guten tag. You didn't have a nervous breakdown for nothing, Mom, Margaret said, feeling obligated to appease her mother. Aunt Leonor had one, so it runs in the family. Call me when I get to Tucson, Mrs. Berger said, looking with impunity at her watch. She went up to the door and screamed, Miguel! It's airport time! After a long pause, Dr. Berger responded, whatever. Mrs. Berger turned to face her children. Who believes me when I say I'm going to Arizona to get a document notarized? She asked in a serious tone. Both children obediently raised their hands, revealing just how codependent they were in stemming the wrath of Mom. A few moments later, they were all listening to the bathroom door when their father appeared, key lime pie in hand. He had had a shipment of bats flown in for his bathroom laboratory, and two of them were chowing down on the pie. They were wearing purple bat pants the color of Amarillo Slim. This is Kuluku, Dr. Berger said, nodding to one bat, and this, he said, nodding to the other, is Baraka. Kuluku jumped onto the family's escalator and was happily crushed between the metal stairs. Baraka, it may be noted, survived for 2 more weeks when he was jumped and murdered by fellow bats in what authorities described as a grim gangland-style vendetta. Another trip to the notary public, my dear? Dr. Brewer Berger asked his wife.
That was perfect. That was really
Mrs. Berger sighed. I suppose it is. She knew that Charlie and Margaret didn't buy any of it, but they played the adoring children while their father played the maniacally understanding spouse. Let's go, punk asses, Dr. Berger said impatiently. He picked up a nasty-looking mallet to emphasize his point. Move, now! Who believes in a wise and eternal God? Anyone? You saw the looks of disgust and despair on everyone's faces and let the subject drop without comment. Goodbye, Mrs. Berger, Diana said against her better judgment. I hope you find a good notary. Do you know where she's really going, Charlie asked? It's because her sister's in the hospital. I believe that when I see it, Diana replied, partially because her cerebral cortex had misfired. The kids watched the car sail out of the driveway. Charlie grabbed the remote control away from her cassava melon so he could watch a movie. Diana slammed down onto the sofa next to him and picked up an old bag of potato chips from the coffee table. Who died and left this movie on? She asked, rude as she pleased. I did, me, Charlie said. And it's a great fucking movie. It's about Hiroshima and Nagasaki. He took a tomato that was in between the sofa's cushions and smashed it in Diana's face. Margaret sat down too late to witness the tumult. She liked tomato smashed in faces, and she liked the bombings of Hiroshima and Nagasaki. But this is the same girl who thought the Contras silly. Now she was thinking of her mom flying out to Arizona to be committed once again. It's an awesome movie. It's got tragedy and tragedy. And we originally saw it as a double feature with Shaft in Africa.
Take a breather, Dad. Take a breather.
I've got to get, Diana said, wiping tomato spit from her face. I can see that I'm getting nothing but hummus from you two. Me too, Margaret sighed. Let's get out of here before Dad gets back or dinner appears. Diana, did you finish your math homework? And if so, can I copy it? Charlie shushed his eyes, transcendental meditation to the TV. This is the best part. How old is this fucking movie, Diana chill? 27 years old, Charlie admitted. It stars Eddie Albert and Hans Conried. Hans Conried's a fox, Margaret admitted, displaying her brazenness. I used to move up and down on the bike seat dreaming of him. Did he? Done.
I swear, the cat fairies were laughing because you guys won't stop.
Did he ever live in Michigan? Because I think I saw him once, Diana said. And he wasn't wearing anything except the bolo tie. You should have seen him when he was young and naked, Margaret said, a little too enthusiastically. Diana wasn't much help. She hadn't done her homework. She was too busy thinking about boys. Yes, tall boys. She was rubbing her butt and licking her lips. Your dad seemed a little on edge. You know what I mean? Yes, but what are you failing to say? Just that he seemed, you know, nervous. How do you say nutcase in your family? Charlie insisted, and he took another tomato from between the cushions and threw it at Diana. You fuck! That hit me right in the tootie fields, and it hurt. It was supposed to hurt, Margaret said distractedly. In reality, it doesn't hurt, but all of the emotional slash psychological stress you create before it hits, well, that hurts. It's a lot like Dad's experiments. Experiments? I heard about this shit, but I never believed it. Diana broke up Morton's salt and started salting the sofa until it was completely white. Diana was a fanatical Scientologist. She did two things fanatically. One, fall behind on math, and two, all hail Scientology! It was two things that Margaret detested about the dits. She's the one who ruined the family name of Brewer, Margaret thought with a mind full of ammo. That and Dad's drinking. Oh, well, it all makes for life being one big interesting piece of mea culpa magic and gossip mongering. Fuck this shit, Diana said suddenly, throwing a piece of modern jargon at Margaret. Botany experiments, right? Who gives a fuck about botany? It's complex botany, Margaret said, pulling jargon from her ears like it was entrails. She didn't know how to explain the explosions, the institutionalizings, the salacious TV reports, but complex botany seemed to do the trick. One time I had to be treated for overexposure to peritoneum, but Margaret's voice had pushed itself into a corner and was now peeking out at her friend. Banzai! Charlie also said suddenly, intently watching his movie. You could actually see the stress lines forming under his eyes as he started jumping rope. Is he concocting some kind of Frankenstein maneuver? or the secret tremolo's police, because that's some fucked up shit. Banzai! Charlie repeated suddenly as Arnold Schwarzenegger licked his lips before nuking Nagasaki. Buck him up, Governator! He's got all sorts of plants and mannequins and bats, Margaret said, ignoring her kamikaze kin. But fuck me if I know what he does in there. Yeah, it's all secret and shit, Diana's green eyes illuminated like overexcited kale. Come on, there's gotta be some decorous and degenerous shit in there. No, it's mostly just junk, Margaret said quickly. Her mind flashed back to 2 weeks earlier when she and Charlie had decided to surprise their dad with breakfast in the bathroom. She still couldn't make her mouth form the words mushy, rutabaga, or motoneutron. Come on, you're killing me, Diana said, dirting on the details. Are you chicken? I have chicken qualities, Margaret replied, mooing. Diana was always daring her to do shit she didn't want to. Why can't Diana understand the importance of not fucking with a madman's main machination? Margaret asked herself. Chicken! Diana screamed. Banzai! Charlie echoed. Diana was such a literal sack of shit that you couldn't leave her unattended in a nursery land, or she'd get sold as fertilizer. Listen, boom, Charlie was in the peregrine grip of the TV's aperture. Wait, where are you going? It's burning bodies time. He jumped up and almost all of the salt from the sofa came with him. We're not going any, Margaret started by that, but Diana was mouthing the words, bark, 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 bark. We're just going to listen at the door, Diana insisted. If old man Maelstrom comes home, we'll cheese it, sit and watch Arnold burn Nagasakians. That's good, Charlie said, putting the photonuclear pyrotechnics on pause. You don't want Dad pissed. Why are you so hot about doing this, Margaret asked her friends. Why are you so interested in bathrooms all of a sudden? Diana knew she was surrounded by homebrews. It's because I think I left my math homework in there. And you want to listen for it? Charlie asked. Margaret was suspicious and solely delicacing. But Charlie went through the kitchen doorway and got on the escalator to the bathroom. Charlie loved listening to and feeling the hum of the modern electric marvel. He loved the brilliant futuristic steel lines and the way it brought him right to his dad's bathroom door. This isn't fucked up, Margaret kept telling herself. Meanwhile, every fiber of her body was telling her, this is fucked up. This is an adventure. There is nothing bad in the bathroom. Why then was her heart beating like a buzzsaw? Why should experimenting with plants in a bathroom freak her out?
Oh, that's long, thank you.